Hi, y'all. It's me, Angela. I mean, Mary Alice. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Worst is the Shire podcast. This is another episode of Whisperia Lane. So we're covering season 1, episode 20 in this episode, which is called Fear No More. And to give you a quick recap before we get into it, this episode is basically all of the men of Whisperia Lane being annoying. So...
Correct.
Tom's decided to hire his ex-girlfriend without telling Lynette. We see the consequences of Carlos tampering with Gabby's birth control. Paul is just Paul. Zach is just Zach. They're just causing chaos in Susan's life, basically. And who have I forgotten?
Bree.
Oh, yes, Bree. We have another tampering of Med's thing happening in this episode. It's really good. Yeah, we'll get into it.
You just said that Zach and Paul are causing chaos in Susan's life, right?
Well, they basically are.
They well, they basically have done.
She got hit in the face with pebbles, mate.
Correct.
She shouldn't have been sticking her head out of a window where she knew that pebbles were being thrown.
It's her own house. She can stick her head out of whatever window in her house that she wants. Correct. Look what you're turning me into. You're turning me into a Susan defender.
No, but like, listen, check it, right?
Check it.
If you know that there's pebbles being thrown against the window and your window opens outways, you open the window a smidge and you be like Zach in a loud voice and he stops throwing the freaking pebbles.
Yeah, or even better, you open the front door.
Yeah.
Or even better, you call the police.
Yeah. Oh my god, okay, let's talk about Susan first when we get into it, because I've got a lot to say about that scene.
I have a lot to say about Susan in general.
Before we get into the nitty gritty, let's remind people who we are. I'm Suna.
I'm Sadie.
And I'm Arjazom.
And we have a motto. Our motto is, if attempted murder is a crime, then attempted comedy is a podcast. And so we're going to get into attempting some comedy.
About Susan.
About Susan. So we'll start with Susan then.
When we're hilarious.
We've already started with Susan, so we'll dive right in there. How funny is it when Susan's, you know, the whole scene we just talked about, where she gets hit in the face by these pebbles because Zach is trying to get Julie's attention from the window. Then the next scene, after she gets a face full of pebbles, is they're all downstairs in the living room and Zach is in there with them. Like,
I know.
How did this play out? Like, did you go, oh, shit, there's pebbles in my face. I'm going to go downstairs on the couch. But before I do, I'm going to open the door for Zach so he can come in and see me with my face hurt. Why would he be inside? Why would he not have taken off?
Because we like to invite our physical offenders into the house with us.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
It makes no sense. And also, I was like, I thought maybe he just, like, barged in to say, like, sorry. But then it's like, don't you lock your doors?
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think you are? And you know she does because she's been locked out there naked, like, twice.
I know, exactly.
Zach is, like, adamant that he wants Julie to forgive him and get together and stuff. And he's like, and Julie's like, look, I don't really want to be your girlfriend. And Zach's like, but why? And Susan's like, maybe because you just threw, like, some pebbles in her mum's face. Like, maybe that's why.
I know.
So Zach's kind of getting annoyed. And he thinks that Julie doesn't like him because of lies that Susan's been telling her. So he's refusing to accept that Julie just doesn't want to be with him. But also, Julie was like to Susan, oh, thank you for, like, saying that he can't date me because I've been trying to dump him for weeks. Which is, like, not what I remember.
I know. Also, thanks for taking a face full of pebbles so I can break up with my boyfriend.
I know, literally. And then, oh my god, Zach getting gaslit by Paul.
Oh my god, I know.
When Paul is like, Julie's a very special girl and she can have any boy she wants. And like,
and you're not special.
You're not special, Zach. You're just not.
I know. Oh my god, that's so good. It reminded me of a Cinderella story where Jennifer Coolidge is like, Sam, there's something I've been meaning to tell you. You're not very pretty and you're not very bright. I'm so glad we had that talk.
Yeah. Like, I think what Paul's trying to do here is to get him to just move away, right? Like, Paul just wants them to move so that all this stuff is behind them because Zach's insisting on staying by. And then Paul, like, snaps and he yells at him and is like, don't you understand that if, like, the cops find out what's been happening here, they're going to take me away. They're going to take you away. And then Zach's like, well, if Julie doesn't love me, is it even worth it?
I know.
Like, at this rate, Paul, just kill him. You're better off.
I know, literally. Undig that pool right now.
Exactly.
Zach stops by and brings a sorry pot plant to say, sorry I threw rocks in your face.
Yeah. And, quote, because I want us to be friends.
Exactly.
How are you going to be friends with a 40-year-old woman? Yeah.
Exactly. He's like, and that's basically what Susan says. She's like, I wouldn't hold your breath. And he's like, oh, I just don't think you're being really fair. Like, it must be so hard for Julie to know her mum and boyfriend don't like each other. And Susan's like, she doesn't consider you a boyfriend. And Zach's kind of just like, you're lying. Yeah.
Why are you always lying?
Exactly. She didn't say that.
and then he's like, and if she did, it's because you've been telling her lies. Exactly. And then, like, Paul's calling him from across the road as if he's like a dog that got loose.
Paul, come here, boy. I'm Zach, come here, boy.
Zach, get back here.
I know.
Zach would have been such a good dog. Sorry, it's thundering.
He got scared.
Don't worry, he's real friendly.
He don't bite.
Like, Susan made a really good point. She's like, a couple of weeks ago you were in here smashing about, like, you were just like throwing my stuff around here. Why would you, like, what could I possibly say to her that's not the truth?
But creepy AF runs in the family, because then we see Paul goes and approaches Edie and he's like, basically, I know you weren't in my house to make out with me, so why were you really there? And Edie's like, I'm not going to say nothing. And Paul's like, okay, I'm going to go to the police. And Edie's like, fine, you got me.
Fine, it was Susan.
Yeah, fine, it was Susan. That crazy bitch thinks that you had something to do with Angela / Mary Alice or whatever.
Yeah.
But all this is playing out right in front of Mike.
Mike, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, Paul's just like, yeah, good to know, walks away. And Mike, being Mike, decides he's going to go warn Susan that Paul is not a good
guy. Yeah, but first, before I say that, do you know why Mike has to warn Susan? Because Edie's telling Mike about it, and she's like, now Paul wants to go after Susan, and if I liked her better, I'd warn her, but...
I know. Well, fair enough. She did say to Susan, I'm literally never going to forgive you for this, you're dead to me, when she dated the builder.
Yeah.
But what I did like was when Susan does see Mike coming into the coffee shop to warn her, she just sits at the random table with a bunch of random ladies who are staring at her, and she's just creeping down. She's like, later, ladies. Bye.
She doesn't own up to it. She's like, bye, ladies. I'll talk to you later.
I know. So good. I feel like if that happened to us, though, we would just be like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. These ladies just stared at her.
Yeah.
No, right. Exactly. She had enough time to sort of say to them, like, this is girl code, I guess. She could have just said to them, hey, I'm running from that guy, or I don't want to talk to that guy right now. Help. And I'm pretty sure they would have helped her anyway. Like, she didn't just have to sit there and be awkward.
But what I thought was funny was Mike's like, oh, Paul's not a nice guy, keep clear of him. And Susan's like, I know why Paul's not a nice guy. Why do you think Paul's not a nice guy? And he's like, I just know.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I just know. Yeah, and later on, at a barbecue that's happening at Gabby's house, Susan makes eye contact with Paul, and suddenly her kitchen blows up.
Yes.
Like, what?
The eye contact was the trigger.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And suddenly her kitchen blows up, and there's fireys there, and they're trying to figure out, like, you know, what started the fire.
Fireys?
Yeah. Firefighters.
You're Australian. Be Australian.
Exactly. They're fireys.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that was a thing.
It is a thing. Awesome. So, yeah, there are firefighters there, and they're trying to figure out how the fire started. And Susan's mum might have left a candle out, but then she reenacts it, and she's like, no, I didn't. Like, I definitely put it out.
Yeah, that scene was hilarious.
I definitely put it out. And Susan stares at Paul and she's just like, yeah, things are really dangerous. But my thing is, like, I don't feel bad for Susan. She blew up someone's whole house. Like, you lost the kitchen. You didn't even cook anyway.
I know. This is like Edie's revenge.
I know. Serves her right if it was Edie.
Yeah. Well, and then Paul approaches her and says, so I hear you've been sneaking around in my house. And she says, oh, who told you that? And he's like, Edie.
And she's like, oh, damn.
Yeah, she's like, dang. And then they end up going and having a conversation in
Paul's kitchen.
And in Paul's house, yeah. And basically Paul tries to cover up some of the stuff that Susan's been trying to find out. So he says, oh, so like about the whole Angela thing. The reason she changed her name is because her aunt was also called Angela and then they got in a fight and so she changed her name. And Susan's
like, yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so she's like, so she changed her name because she had a fight with her aunt. And he's like, yeah, simple, isn't it? And then Susan was almost buying it. He almost had her on side. And then Susan said, oh, you know what? Like, could I please see that video of Angela when she was young? Because like, it'd be really nice to see an old Mary Alice video. And he's like, nah, I threw it out. And so Susan starts getting suspicious again. She's getting on the suspicious train. And, you know, Paul kind of just starts like being threatening towards her again. And yeah, he's like, you know, I really mean it. Like, you should leave my family alone. And I'm getting real sick and tired of you kind of just sticking your nose in my business, of your tireless suspicions or something, he said. And yeah, Susan's like, yeah, me too. And then she left his house.
Yeah.
And I think that's all for Susan.
I believe so also. I think next we should do Bree.
Yeah, all right, let's do Bree. So Bree has gotten back together with Rex, basically, but she's still trying to be friends with George. And so George told her last episode, yeah, like, we can just be friends. Like, I really like you. I'm over you.
Okay, but how are you going to be friends with someone who shot themselves in the foot trying to kiss you?
Yeah, I know. And also, like, I don't understand how people in shows like this get, like, believe that sort of stuff. Like, okay, last episode, which was, like, last week, you were obsessed with me. And this episode, you're like, nah, I don't even care about you anymore. I'm over it. Like, people don't get over people that quick. Yeah, he says he's dating Ginger.
I love Ginger.
Ginger's the best.
I know.
Bree and Rex are at, like, some place at the markets buying an orchid, Rex's first orchid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awkward because it's awkward. George comes over and he's like, oh, I'm so glad I ran into both of you because, like, I want to go to this bonsai exhibition. Bree immediately says yes because she loves that stuff. And Rex is like, oh, wouldn't it be easier to just shoot me? And George is like, yes, it would. Yes.
And there's, like, this awkward silence before he chuckles. Like,
yeah, I know. But then, like, Rex realizes he stepped into it because then Bree's like, well, why don't we just go then since we're BFFs? And Rex is like, ah, nah, I don't think so. So then because Rex is, like, convinced that George is still in love with Bree, George makes up this story that he's dating Ginger.
Yeah.
And Bree, like, my God, woman, you are a queen and I love you, but are you thick?
Let's not forget our second motto, which is we support women's rights and women's wrongs, okay?
Yeah, and in this episode, she was wrong because it was very clear that he was not dating Ginger.
But Ginger was so convincing. What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, literally 4 seconds ago, he was yelling at Ginger. He was like, if you're not nice to another customer, so help me God, I'll stick you out the back.
I know. And then later on when he makes Ginger miss her like cousin's wedding or something, he's like, you have to come to this barbecue with me, bitch.
He's like, it wasn't a wedding, it was a commitment ceremony.
I know.
So basically the whole thing boils down to Bree is being dumb and like refusing to see that George clearly likes her and is making up all of these excuses.
She wants a friend who's the same as her, I guess.
Yeah, she makes a point of saying no one else likes the cultural things that but I like.
But, like, he's not really vibing, is he? Like, who wants a creepy friend?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he is creepy, right? Like, he just feels creepy. I get you want friends, but get non-creepy friends, friend. Anyway, so Rex and George are probably like at each other's throats, basically making snide little comments to each other, until it boils down to Rex pushing George into the pool at the barbecue,
and George shaking Bree with him.
Yeah, George shakes Bree with him, and Rex is like, "To be fair, I only pushed him."
Yeah.
George basically convinces Bree to go on sneakily seeing him without Rex knowing anyway.
I know.
So that's what they end up agreeing at the end of the episode.
I'm sorry, but if you can't, like, tell your partner who you're hanging out with, like, there's obviously something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and short of it being a surprise party, like.
Yeah. But also, like, I don't know. Like, first of all, I don't think she should hang out with him because he's a creep. But also, Rex just literally had an affair. It's not your place to tell her who she can hang out with.
But how long are you going to hold it over his head for?
Forever.
Yeah, you, I will say also forever. Yes, you can.
Literally, no, you forever. Can't. Yeah, you can.
No, because if you forgive something, you've forgiven it. You have no right to bring it up every time.
That doesn't mean I've forgotten it.
Correct.
But that's a part of forgiving.
No, it's not. No, forgetting it isn't. Is not forgiving.
Yeah, it's not. If you forgive, you do not forget, because then you just get burnt again by the same bloody candle.
Exactly.
You get burnt another by the same mistake.
Another quote.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Rex is absolutely not in the position to be telling her who she can and can't see, but I think it's completely valid to say, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's your choice if you still want to keep seeing him or not. That is your choice, but you shouldn't lie about it.
Yeah.
Because lying is the bad part here.
Exactly. I agree. The other thing we didn't kind of mention about this dynamic, though, is we keep getting alluded to, remember how we saw a few episodes ago, George was messing with Rex's medicine?
Yeah.
We keep seeing references to that in this episode. Yes. So when they first meet up, George is like, "How's your health?" And Rex is like, "Pretty shitty, actually. My cardiologist is a dumbass."
Yeah.
And we find out that they've doubled his dosage and nothing is helping. And at one point he considers changing pharmacists, but, like, he's only considering it because he thinks George is in love with Bree. Like, yeah, you should change pharmacists. But also, he's a doctor. Can he not tell his medicine has been tampered with?
I guess, like, it's hard to tell if you haven't taken the medication yourself before. If you start getting the medication and it's roughly the same size, shape, and color, like...
Okay, so know. For all of us who aren't American, right?
Yeah.
Americans get their little pills in, like, bottles.
Orange bottles, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas we get them in packets, so it's more difficult to tamper with the rest of the world's medicine, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, they get them in bulk and then they count them out for your prescription, which is what I think is the issue. And that's why it's like, oh, if they're like the same size and color and shape.
Medication normally has markings and stuff on it that you can identify what it looks like. They're all different shapes,
like
colors, Panadol sizes.
Has a little
they might have a little, they might have a little sign on it. Like, they don't all look the same. They might all look the same to a lay person, but if you're a doctor, surely.
But if we're referring to my knowledge on Grey's Anatomy right now, there are several medications that have the same markings, and you just need to know what they are based on the bottles they come in from the manufacturer, and they can easily get mixed up. So, like, there are some, like, on this episode of Grey's Anatomy, there was, like, heart pressure medication and cold and flu medication that looked the exact same, and they were being given to a patient. It was making them sick.
Okay, first of all, that's a dumb idea.
Second of all, is that... House.
Yeah. Is that legit or is that just for a TV show is my first question. My second question is, that is so dumb. Why would you make them look the same?
Because they only have a certain amount of molds and stuff, I guess.
Make some more molds.
No.
Rex is not doing good because his medicine is being tampered with.
Yeah.
Is the end result of that. Is that everything we wanted to talk about for Bree?
I think so.
Her children don't exist in this episode.
Yeah, no. Any issues she was having with Andrew are gone now. He's no longer gay.
He's no longer gay.
So Lynette walks into her husband's office. I always forget his name.
Tom. Brad.
Oh. Tom. Brad! Yeah, Brad. She goes to Brad's office.
He seems like a Brad. He does things that a Brad would do. she walks into Tom's office and she's like, oh, you forgot the McCluskey file. Just at that minute, she sees her arch nemesis, Tom's ex-girlfriend.
Annabelle.
Yeah, Annabelle, who she stole Tom from. Right? Yeah. So Annabelle and Tom were dating when Lynette and Tom started dating. So obviously she has a mini freak out, but she freaks out even more when she realizes that Annabelle's been in the office for 3 months and Tom hasn't told her.
Yeah. It sounds to me like their relationship was pretty well advanced when they got together, because the voiceover person says that Annabelle had begged Tom to marry her and he said he wasn't the marrying type. So it wasn't like they were dating for 2 weeks or anything. It sounds like they were in a pretty serious relationship or together long enough that marriage was on the table.
This was a little tidbit of information that we found out about Lynette. Her and Tom's relationship started via cheating.
Yes.
Don't love that.
No, I don't love that either. But maybe that's why she keeps saying to him and he keeps getting angry. Like, if there was another woman or if you cheat on me, I'll take the kids and go and whatever. Because, like, later on, Tom does bring it up and he keeps saying to her, like, you keep doing this.
And she does make a point of saying, well, you know, you did it with me, and it's like, it's a repetitive behavior type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, can I just, before we get too deep into it, I really want to say I hate Tom for this also, because when he gets home that night and Lynette's like, were you ever going to tell me? He's like, well, to be honest, I was putting it off because I knew how you were going to react. Like, that's such a shitty excuse.
Yeah.
Like, you were going to react badly, so I wasn't going to tell you.
Yeah. Also, his whole excuse of, like, oh, I didn't actually hire her. I just gave her a good word because I felt like such a bad guy for what I did to her. And, like, I need to make it up to her. But, like, what about all the shit things you've done to Lynette, mate?
I know.
Including literally. This one. Including hiring your ex-girlfriend.
I know, literally. And then not telling her about it. The fact that you didn't tell her about it is, like, probably why she feels insecure about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he goes on to say, like, no, I could have told you day one and you'd still have this reaction. And, like, well, give her the benefit of the doubt then. Find out and let her react in her own time.
Yeah. And also, why does he feel like he has to come in and save the day and get her a job? Like, she's not some little pauper with no job experience or anything. She's clearly been in the field for years and years. She can find a job. She doesn't need you, Tom.
Exactly.
Like, she's not your responsibility. Yeah, and then he makes it even worse when Lynette's like, well, maybe find another role for her so you guys aren't working together because I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, which is a completely valid thing to say again.
Yeah, and he's like, nah, too bad, she's staying. I'll get you a, because she says, oh yeah, like, I'll just stalk your office. If she stays, I'm going to stalk your office. I'm going to be there for every retirement thing, every whatever. Birthday. I'm going to be there every birthday. And he's like, fine, I'll get you a car park. Like, what a douchebag.
And what a hell to die on.
He literally feels bad for everything else except for how he treats Lynette.
I know.
I was worried that because, like, a couple of episodes ago, he was confessing to his dad that he cheated on Lynette.
Yeah. Well, he confessed something. We don't know what he actually confessed. He said there's something she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the whole Annabelle works in my office thing.
Oh, yeah. How long ago was that?
I don't know.
There's no timeline to these shows, bro. I have no idea.
Yeah, because that's a good point. Because, like, it was, like, immediately after Lynette was like, if you ever cheat on us, like, I'm going to take the kids and you'll never see them again. Bye. And then he said that to his dad. Yeah. So, like, maybe it was just, like, related to the fact that he cheated on Annabelle.
Well, but Lynette knew that.
Yeah, but, like, that's what he was anxious about because of, like, the history with Annabelle. And that's, like, what triggered that response to tell his dad.
Yeah, it could have been. Lynette goes to his office to try and, you know, shake up Annabelle, basically.
Yeah.
And remind her that he's in a happy marriage and everything. And Lynette and Annabelle just lays down on her. And she's like, oh, don't worry. I know you guys are, like, in a real happy marriage and everything. I'm not here to break up happy couples. That's more your thing.
I know.
Yeah.
I love it.
And she's like, we're rock solid.
Yeah. She's like, we're rock solid. And then Annabelle's like, so why are you here threatening me?
Exactly. Truth. And good point. Why are you here threatening? Lynette does the next obvious thing. She goes up to Edie and she's like, no, first she goes to Edie and she's like, so you're a predator? I got a question. Edie's like, no, you were right to come to me with this.
I know. I love Edie so much.
I know. She's such so a good character. She's so
good. She is. She deserves and more screen time.
Yeah, she basically says to Lynette that you've got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And so,
yeah, she's like, if I were ever threatened by a woman, which I've never been,
yeah,
this is what I would do.
So Lynette decides to invite Annabelle over for dinner. And it's so awkward because it's like her and Tom are basically on a date and Lynette is waiting on them.
Yes.
Lynette's literally up around cleaning whatever and they're like having a great time as if they're on a date with a little maid.
I know.
And like, okay, I have friends. I have fun with my friends. I laugh with my friends. You don't need to hold your friends' hands as you laugh.
No, you don't.
And then Lynette staged this whole thing to make them look like such a happy little family. She got the kids to draw a little picture showing like how happy their family is, etc. But you know what would have put Annabelle off even more? Mm. Remind her that he has 4 kids, and if you want him, you're going to take on those 4 kids too. I would have gotten the kids to be brats. I feel like that would have worked a lot more. Don't show her he's got sweet kids.
I know.
Show her the brats. Annabelle gets a call from Peterson at the end of this dinner party, and she goes off to take the call in a different room. Like, why?
Also, it's not your house, so why are you going off to a different room?
Yeah, but, like, I also don't understand why she had to duck off to a different room. She didn't even know what it was about yet. He could have just been like, oh, where's this document saved? Like,
I know. You know? No, she had to go to a different room so Tom could be like, Lynette, this is embarrassing.
I know. And, like, they have a full-on domestic right when she's in the other room and she comes out just as they finish their conversation. Guaranteed she was there listening.
Like, yeah, and Tom's even like, really, are you that insecure, Lynette? And he says it like loud and everything else.
I know. But Lynette is fully right. Like, he does have a history of cheating. He did lie to her about working with his girlfriend for 3 months. Like, these are all questionable things. Don't turn it around on her.
And then he's like, you're pushing me out this marriage.
Yeah, so he says to her, like, every 5 minutes you say that, like, if you ever cheat, like, I'm going to take the kids and go. And it's like, oh, it's just something wives say. And he's like, oh, you're pushing me out of this marriage. You're pushing me to the breaking point until you're right. Oh, that's just things husbands say, Lynette.
Yeah.
Like, those are two very different things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then anyway, turns out what Peterson wanted was for them to redo a presentation so they have to go back into the office.
So yeah, first it's going to be an all-nighter.
Who the hell does Peterson think he is? Like, I'd be like, Peterson? Nah, mate, this is not working hours. Does this look like working hours? I have a family.
I wouldn't even take that call, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'd watch it ring and be like, oh, sorry, I missed your call yesterday. What's going on?
Like, literally, you don't own my life. I have a contract with you that I work from this hour to this hour.
Where were you at Adam's last job?
Telling me to apply for other jobs.
Yeah, right here telling her.
Gabby goes to buy herself a convertible, sexy, sleek sports car. So she sits into this car at the dealership and she's like, I love it. I'm going to buy it. It's a horrendous color, by the way. It's like a navy blue. Who buys a navy blue sports car?
I would. But also, like, literally, you just came back from the brink of poorness. Like, let me save your money a little bit.
Maybe use that money to actually buy your house so you're not left homeless.
Make some investments. Do some savings. Like, you know, maybe don't rush out and buy a sports car the first chance you get.
No.
She goes to buy the sports car, sits in the car, and then hurls. She just throws up all over this brand new car in the showroom.
Because of the leather smell.
Yeah, and the lady there is like, oh, do your boobs hurt? Do you have, like, nausea? Do you have this? And she's like, yeah, that's how I was with my first. And the guy was like, what? And she's like, you're pregnant. And she's like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Like, she was so panicked that she could be pregnant. Anyway, she ends up saying to the lady, I want this car by Saturday, but I want a new one because I threw up in this one.
I know. Yeah. Like, yeah, we'll get you a fresh one.
Yeah, ew, I threw up in this one. Gross.
She orders her car and leaves. She goes and buys a couple of pregnancy tests, and lo and behold, she is pregnant.
She screams, son of a bitch, in front of Ginger.
Yeah. And when she comes out, so she does a pregnancy test in the pharmacy for context. And she screams, son of a bitch. She runs out of the room and Bree's standing there talking to George coincidentally. And she's like, dang it, they're out of toilet paper.
I know. See you later, Bree.
See you later, Bree. Oh, so good. Love me some Gabby.
I know. She's so funny.
Anyway, now she's panicking because she doesn't know whose baby it is.
Yeah, so she goes to a priest. She's like, by the way, father, I've been cheating.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to do for you?
But I also liked how she was talking to the priest and she says, like, I'm so self-centered. I'm the worst person to be having a baby. And also, the only person worse than me is Carlos. He's so self-centered. He doesn't even know I'm self-centered.
I know, literally. And, like, later on she tells Susan, and Susan's like, people always say you can't imagine your life with kids until you have them. And it's like, Susan, like, at least you be supportive. Like,
yeah.
For 3 seconds. You know how she feels. You know what her situation is.
Also, there's options. She doesn't have to keep this kid.
That's never an option on TV shows, though.
No, it's not. Because I feel like TV shows really, like, demonize, like, abortion and things like that, especially in this era of TV that we're watching now.
Yeah.
Okay, what about adoption?
Like, giving the kid up for adoption.
Yeah.
Okay, how many people do you know that have adopted kids?
None.
Yeah. That's why adoption's not an option. So there's, like, this video that I quite like, actually. This guy goes and trolls these people that protest outside abortion clinics, and he's like, yeah. How many kids have you adopted? How many kids have you adopted?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, none, because we could have our own.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, don't preach for adoption if you refuse to adopt. Like,
I fully agree with that.
These kids have to go somewhere.
Anyway, this has taken a sad turn.
It has. Yeah.
Later on at Carlos's, like, farewell barbecue thing, she is helping Carlos with the barbecue, and the smell is making her feel nauseous again. So she goes upstairs to vomit, and she's so upset that she decides to rage out on her birth control pills. So she's just, like, smashing them and being like, oh my God, like, damn you, kind of a thing. When she realizes her birth control's been opened before.
Yeah.
And she notices that they're peeling back. They've been tampered with. And Gabby, like, without missing a beat, walks downstairs, is like, I know you've been tampering my birth control pills, and now I'm pregnant, and slaps Carlos square in the face in front of everyone, which was just like, go off, Gabby.
Yeah, it was great. And this is happening at the same time as the other drama we talked about with, like, Rex
Susan's
pushing...
house burning down.
Yeah, Susan's house is burning down, Rex pushing what's-his-face into the pool, and Edie's like, now this is a party.
I know, literally.
And Felicia is just shocked. Felicia's like, what the hell kind of town is this?
I know. Why are you so southern today? Every accent you're putting on is so southern.
I just am. It's just my vibes today.
It really is. I like it.
But yeah, and then she goes outside and she starts feeling bad because the thing she's upset about is she doesn't know who the father is. No, the thing you should be upset about is the fact that your husband messed with your fucking birth control. Like, that's not normal. Forcing someone to get pregnant is not normal. I probably would have been petty enough to be like, I'm pregnant and it's your fault and it's probably not even yours.
I know, literally.
So there.
I probably wouldn't, just because Carlos is kind of scary. You saw how he, like, grabbed her and stuff like that.
He's going to jail. Just stay out of his way until he goes to jail. He'll be locked up. Government-funded
vacation.
Yeah.
What's hilarious is that, like, Gabby's pregnant now. He's going away for 8 months. Like, when he comes back, that baby's going to be ready. Like,
yeah, that baby's going to be ready. He's one I prepared earlier.
He doesn't have to deal with the pregnancy at all. Yeah, I think that's everything, really. The only thing we haven't covered is that Felicia has a flashback to how she found out Angela was Mary Alice. Felicia is in her house and Mrs. Hoover is there to visit. Martha Hoover. She's also Mrs. Hoover, I suppose.
No, because that seems like that's her married name.
Oh, so yeah, Felicia's... she's Felicia Tillman. Sorry,
she's
you're right.
She's Felicia Tillman, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So Mrs. Hoover is at Felicia's house and Felicia says, oh, how do you know Mary Alice? And she's like, who? And she brings up this photo and she's like, that's Angela, you daft idiot, or whatever she said. you freaking moron. And she's like, I think I know what my own neighbor looks like, Felicia.
Yeah.
And Felicia tells her a story of how she used to work with this person, Angela, and they were working on the maternity ward when a child came in with, like, basically a really doped up mother. Soon after Mary Alice, Angela moved away, there was a report that the child was also missing. Felicia said, I always thought if, you know, it was Angela who did do it, that, you know, she's given that kid a really good home because, you know, she really cared about him. Martha's just standing with her mouth open and she's like, don't look shocked, Martha. It makes your face look fat.
Yeah, I know. I wish we got to see more of this relationship between Martha and Felicia.
I know. Yeah. It's so
they
good.
Were like hysterical. Why did they even hang out?
I know. Literally.
There's a pig of a woman and the world's a better place since she died.
I know. Being shocked makes your face look fat.
I know.
Make no mistake, she's dead.
Yeah.
In lieu of a funeral, I'm going to have an estate sale.
I know. Literally, like, I want to see more of this dynamic.
I know. So good. I also want to see their parents and how they raised them.
I know.
But yeah, I think that's everything for this episode.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. Did anyone have a worst sister story before we wrap up?
I have a worst sister story I'd like you to tell. Can you tell them about the continuation of our bus story of the racist people in the bus? We promised the story but never told
it.
And I would say it, but I feel like I'm coughing every 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can say that. So the racist people on our bus, guys, oh, my God. As we mentioned last time, we were on a never-ending bus journey. That
the
was
bus journey like from hell. Hours. Yes.
The bus journey from hell. We're stuck on this bus for like a long time. And it's a touristy thing. So there's people from like kind of all over the country, all over the world. And there was a bunch of tourists that didn't speak English. They were Japanese, I think. They didn't speak English. But they're doing their best to get along and understand what's going on. And they're going around on the tours and stuff. We get to one particular stop and I guess they misunderstood what time they were supposed to be back on the bus. And they were no more than 5 minutes late, can I just say. Like, they weren't that late. They misunderstood. They were about 5 minutes late. But there was a bunch of, like, old people on our bus. Mostly old people who were obviously very racist. And they just could not get over it. Oh, my God. Like, this made their day. Like, when I tell you, they went on about this for the rest of the day. Like, they went on about this for the rest of the day. Each of them was being, like, a complete douche to them, to each other, to the bus driver. Like, they were just insane. When they ended up getting back on the bus, and might I remind you again, they were no more than 5 minutes late. Like, there's a language barrier there. They misunderstood. It's fine. They literally started clapping, like, passive-aggressively when they made it onto the bus.
Yeah.
It was so awkward. I hated being there.
I know. It was terrible. It was
so bad. And then, like, they're just, like, really thriving on it. Like, this is the best thing that's happened to them. They're just loving the drama. You know, like, one of them's going up to the bus driver being like, they're so late. Maybe you should tell them this. Maybe you should tell them that. Why are they so late? Da, 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 da. Why are they on this tour? Like, going off. And then the other one's, like, trying to shame them directly. And she's like, make sure at the next stop you're here on time.
Yeah, and then she's talking to the one of them who has better English, and she's like, this is really unacceptable. You need to make sure they're on time. And then before we go off the next stop, they're like, remember, 3:05.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I hope that they were late on the next stop.
That's what I said. That's I said the same thing. I was praying for them to be late.
Would you clap?
Yes.
I would have.
Well, also, can I just say, not only would Snow have clapped, Snow was about to go start a fight with one of these people.
Yeah, they were being such douchebags. Like, I can't even tell you how embarrassing they were. They were such douchebags. And, like, literally, when I tell you they went on about it all day, I'm not exaggerating.
Like, the rest of, like, the 16-hour day, they went on about it.
Every time we got off the bus and went to go back on the bus again, they're all asking each other where these people are, if they're going to be on time again. Oh, let's not hold them up. Let's do this, let's do that. If they wanted to be helpful, they could have been. Like, they could have got them before we got on the bus and said, hey, it's time to go. Like, yeah. You know, knowing that they don't understand the language that well, like, they could have helped them rather than being passive aggressive and things like that. Like, yeah, I understand you want to keep on time, but it's, like, literally not your problem. Like, you're just being driven around. It's not your problem.
Exactly.
Like, just enjoy your day. Don't worry about it.
And when I say Snow was about to start a fight with one of these people, I'm also not exaggerating. So after the first time, like, the only time they were late, I should say, after that, the first stop after that happened, someone walked up to the bus driver and was complaining about, like, oh, you know, you shouldn't really take on people who don't speak the language because it's hard on us and it's not fair on the rest of us and we've all paid.
Oh, my
God. And then we were waiting by the bus, but it wasn't quite time yet. Like, there was still a few minutes to go, and the people who were late the first time weren't back yet, but they still had time. Like, they weren't late.
Yeah.
And everyone's around this bus driver, like, this, the same person's around this bus driver being like, oh, are they going to come on time? Like, you should go check on them. You should go do this. You should go do that. Blah, blah, blah. And Suna was, like, literally about to walk up to them and be like, you know, you talking to this bus driver is making us run even more less on time. And I had to be like, no, look, they're about to walk away. Don't start this fight.
Literally. I may have out loud said, oh, I'm not going to go on the bus right now. I'm trying to stay away from the racists.
Yeah.
Just willing someone to talk to you, right? To say something to you.
I know. Oh. But this is the thing, like, we're both so passive aggressive. It's like, and after everyone clapped on the bus, I very loudly was like, there's no need to be so disrespectful and rude. Just waiting for anyone to say anything to me, but I won't say anything to them.
Yeah. So basically, we're being passive aggressive about these racists being passive aggressive.
Exactly.
And that's,
but at least we're not racist.
That's how we've chosen to live our life.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, sorry, one more thing. Me and Smart also, to be passive aggressive and to, like, piss off these racists more, started to speak in a different language around them on purpose and loudly. We're like, we're only going to speak in this language from now on.
I know. We weren't even saying anything. Like, language, language, language.
I know. Yeah. Literally.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to that episode. Join us again next week with another Shadewood. Reach us on all of our socials if you need anything, you know, just give us a holler. Like, you want to bitch about Susan, we're here for you. You want to tell us Bree's great, we're here for you. So just reach out to us. Our socials are at Sister Worst on Twitter and at Worst Sister Shire on everything else. And that's Reddit, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And we're on worstsistershire@gmail.com as well, if writing is more your thing. In the form of a electronic letter.
Electronic mail, if you will.
Electronic mail, if you will, exactly. And that's it from us. I'm going to count us out with a hadabum.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Hadabum. Hadabum.